Good morning again. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. As was read this morning, we will be looking primarily at verses 20 to 33. Throughout the Proverbs, we find that a common device of the Proverbs is contrast. We find it very soon in chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. It's chapter 1, verse 7. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Chapter 17, verse 9. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Chapter 10, verse 4. The list of such contrast would be quite long. That's typical, not only in the Proverbs, but also in the Psalms. It was a characteristic of Hebrew poetry to create contrast and give understanding through that. Behind all of these in the Proverbs, though, is one primary contrast. And on the one hand are those who accept the wisdom of God, and on the other side of the contrast are those who reject the wisdom of God. It's good to emphasize the benefits of accepting God's wisdom. The wise person lives life skillfully, in a manner pleasing to God. They will live secure in God's will. God will be with them because they have humbled themselves before God. But it's also good to remember the warning to those who refuse to listen and follow God's wisdom. And that's the primary emphasis of the verses we looked at this morning, verses 20 to 33. It takes the primary contrast between those who accept and those who reject God's wisdom and focuses on those who refuse God's wisdom. And for that reason, this morning's message is a little bit dour, a bit dark. I don't like necessarily taking that focus, but since God has given us this passage and focuses right at the start of Proverbs, a warning, what happens if you refuse wisdom? It's important for us to take note. And I have seen time and again where people reject God's wisdom. Professing believers have accepted the wisdom of the world. They have rejected what God has said in His Word. And somewhere down the line in their lives, they run into problems. And they plead to God, well, help us. But by then, it's too late. And as we have heard this morning, wisdom laughs. It's too late. Because they have set a pattern, they have brought things into their lives that no longer can be changed. You cannot go back and change the past. You can have forgiveness, but you cannot change it. What happens when we refuse wisdom? Have you ever wondered about those who refuse God's wisdom? What does refusal look like? Who are they? What will happen? These verses present that very sobering picture. It should act as a warning to each of us to examine our lives to be sure that we are not among those who are refusing God's wisdom. Now, this is the first of a number of texts in Proverbs in which wisdom is personified. The writer presents wisdom as a person, calling out to people to listen and follow her instruction. But our calling focuses quickly on the simple, on the scoffer and the fool. These are those who have not accepted wisdom, but reject it or simply ignored it. Now, there are two primary groups of people which we meet in Proverbs, and we talked about that with the children present last week. There are the fools and there are the wise. To the fools belong also those who are here called scoffers. And everyone is moving toward one or other of these two groups, either toward wisdom, being one of the wise, or toward being a fool. We will either belong to one or the other. Now, some, especially among the young, fall into a third group, which we talked about last week. These are the naive, or what the NIV translates as the simple. One commentator aptly called them fools in the making. The simple have not yet filled their hearts with foolish thinking. But because the natural inclination of man is rebellion against God, the simple, just by doing nothing, will become fools. simply by ignoring wisdom, they become fools, and more set in their way of foolishness. For this reason, it's easy to see how important is this warning in Proverbs 1:20-33. There are unfortunately some who claim to be believers, who actually scoff at the wisdom of Proverbs. Perhaps among them are true believers who have been deceived by Satan, deceived by the world. But there are so many more who just neglect God's wisdom, and they are the simple. And unless they change, they will become foolish and suffer the consequences of the fool. So let's look at this call of wisdom and what it means, especially for those who ignore God's wisdom. I believe the passage can be divided into three sections to help us in our understanding. The first two sections highlight characteristics of this call of wisdom. The third section addresses the consequences to one's response to the call. First, we can observe in verses 20 and 21 that the call of wisdom is public and it's current. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. The picture is vivid. Wisdom is calling out in the street. She calls out in the city where there's a marketplace, at the intersections, at the city gates. These are public places. These are places where people gather and talk and do business. It's a place of temptation. It's where cheating often occurs, gossip, lying, idleness, and much more. The picture of wisdom calling in the city is not saying that wisdom is to be found or purchased in the marketplace or gotten from the rulers of the city. We find instead in these streets fools, scoffers, and the simple, those who desperately need wisdom. The writer has told the reader that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is not a secular product to purchase. Throughout the book, wisdom is portrayed as something to be searched out and to be found in God's revelation. Wisdom is the teaching which God has given and its application to life. It's not found in the street, but it's needed in the streets. The people who need it are there, and there are reminders of wisdom in the street. Wisdom, furthermore, is not simply knowing what to do or say. It's doing it. Wisdom goes beyond just head knowledge, but to practicing what we know to be true. You might remember the words of Jesus in the parable of the wise and foolish builders. He uses these words to introduce that parable in Matthew 8:24 and Luke 6, verse 47 and following. The wise man is the one who hears and does what Jesus says. The foolish man hears, but does not do them. The call of wisdom in the streets and in the market and in the gates is a call to do what God has said. Our circumstances remind us daily of the need for wisdom and the need to put into practice what we know. The picture of wisdom calling in the city is best understood as her call to come to her and obtain wisdom. We are called by the need of wisdom. Wherever we turn, we are faced with the need for God's wisdom. If we would just listen and humble ourselves and open our hearts to God, we would know that we cannot respond to life's challenge on our own. We need God's wisdom. As you go through life, here it's pictured of the city going through, and everywhere you turn to the marketplace and making purchases or selling things, as you talk with people, the way you conduct your life, there's the call, I need God's wisdom. I can't do it on my own. We are also called by the evidence of wisdom. Later in chapter 19, verse 25, strike a scoffer and the simple will learn prudence. For those who have eyes and open ears, even the simple can learn. And we mentioned that last week with the children present. Look at the results of living foolishly. You can see that in the streets. Consider the results of living wisely. And let that motivate you as you seek wisdom. We need to look around and see what happens when people don't follow God's wisdom. And often we can see the results of that. Broken lives, broken homes. Wisdom calls us by practical illustrations of wisdom. Chapter 6, verse 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." Many times in the Proverbs we'll find reference to nature, the things that God has created. Look at these examples. You'll see lizards and rock badgers, locusts, lions, roosters being mentioned. The animal world illustrates God's wisdom. The call of wisdom is all around us because the general knowledge of God is all around us. Turning one's back on God is equated with rejecting wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Chapter 9, verse 10. Those who reject God ultimately reject His wisdom as well. We're told creation declares the glory of God. We're told this in the Old Testament and in the New. Psalm 19, Romans chapter 1. When men think themselves to be wise, but reject God as revealed in the world around them, they become fools. Paul teaches that in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. When you reject God, you think you're smart, you're becoming a fool. And we don't want to do that. Wisdom is calling. She's around every one of us. If we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, come and listen. Learn what God wants us to know and then do it. That is the call of wisdom. As we continue in these verses in Proverbs 1, we can next observe that the call of wisdom is very personal and urgent. Look at verses 22 and 23. "How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made known my thoughts known to you." The question of verse 22 is rhetorical, stressing that it has already been too long. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? It's already too late. They did not respond, verse 23. They rejected the call of wisdom, verse 24. They ignored it and would not accept it, verse 25. Wisdom has given them an opportunity, and they did not take it. The consequences are sure. They're coming upon the simple, the fool, and the scoffer. It's just a matter of time. Yet there's a chance, a slight chance, if a person will yet turn, wisdom might hear and respond. But resistance has been so long, there is little reason for hope. It's nice to see the hint here of God's grace. This call, it could have just been, "It's too late, I'm not going to say anything." But in this call, there's this hope that's given. You might still just turn. Listen and turn. But don't count on it. Never put off. If God is speaking in your heart, never think, "Well, tomorrow I will change. Next year, I'll just live my life this way, and some other time in the future, then I'll respond." Never wait, because you do not know if you'll have that chance in the future. It's interesting and important to note that this call of wisdom is described very personally in these verses and through verse 27. Starting with verse 28, the fool and his companions are addressed in the third person. They will call, but wisdom will not answer. But in these early verses, it's in the second person. You, the individual, must turn. How long will you, simple ones, love your simple ways? Look at verse starting at verse 23. "If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind." It's directing very personally to each person. What will you do with wisdom? Every person is called to examine his or her own way. Am I acting like a fool? Am I one of these simple ones who ignore God's wisdom? It's urgent that I consider my own ways. While there's yet time, I must quickly respond and turn to God and His Word. I must humble myself and do what He says before it's too late. The call of wisdom is personally for me and for you. and it's extremely urgent. Do it now. Don't wait and think, tomorrow, next year, then it'll be okay. There are consequences to refusing wisdom. When a person fails to heed the call of wisdom, there are guaranteed results. In verses 24 to 31, graphically portray those results. 2 points are emphasized, although there are numerous observations which one can make. First of all, the rejection of wisdom earns the rejection by wisdom. To obtain wisdom is an opportunity which may not always exist. Those who refuse wisdom will find that the call of wisdom becomes a lost opportunity. Since they rejected wisdom, verses 24 and 25, then wisdom rejects them, verses 26 through 28. They will get into a difficult situation and finally want wisdom, but they will not have it and will not receive it. The rejection of wisdom will allow a person to get themselves into extreme distress. Unless we embrace God's wisdom, we are heading downhill and will crash at the bottom. Some people think along the way, it's a great ride. Isn't this wonderful? I can do what I want, and they have a great time going down this hill at a high speed. But at the end, at the bottom, there's a dead end. There's no way out, and a crash is coming. Look at some of the terms used. Calamity will overtake you. Disaster will sweep over you like a whirlwind. Distress and trouble will overwhelm you. The crash at the bottom will be unexpected and forceful. Those are the sense of those words. It's not, oh, you'll have some unfortunate times. It's a crash. It's a whirlwind. It's a disaster. A calamity. They're strong words to describe what's coming upon the person who rejects wisdom. The crash at the bottom will also be painfully revealing. There will be a desire for wisdom. But they will realize at that point that they do not have the answers. They need God's wisdom, but it will be too late. Wisdom will not answer. The second point, which is emphasized, is found in verses 29 to 31. Paul refers to the principle in Galatians 6, verse 7, a man reaps what he sows. A godless, destructive lifestyle reaps destruction and God's rejection. Look at verses 29 to 31. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. When a person refuses God's wisdom, they are choosing some other supposed wisdom. When they refuse to walk the path that God specifies, they're choosing to walk a different path. That alternate path, that supposed wisdom, leads somewhere. Not only does it lead away from God's wisdom, it leads to another end. And the end of that path is the natural result of following that path. When a person refuses God, they will end up without God. When a person chooses destructive, evil ways, they will themselves be destroyed. I do not believe that any true Christian would consciously start down such a destructive path. No true believer would consciously turn their back on God, rejecting his wisdom, and pursuing a path of destruction. Nevertheless, professing believers can be found on those downhill slopes, heading for disaster, and sometimes already in those disasters. Now, some examples we can find and we'll touch on in the Proverbs. Others have God's wisdom in Proverbs, but the paths away from God's wisdom appear to be more a current invention or perhaps just not mentioned. A recurring theme in Proverbs is the danger of sexual immorality, as an example. God's wisdom says, do not let even your heart stray from the right path. Proverbs 7, verse 25. Don't even think about it. But what do men do? Some believe that they can dabble a bit, check things out on the internet. Think, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's not dangerous. But where will it lead? I know personally of examples where that path led to a crash at the bottom, where marriages, lives, even churches have been destroyed or extremely damaged because some man thought he could dabble a little bit with sexual immorality in his mind, with his eyes, and it just went downhill. Don't even start on that path. Proverbs 7, don't even let your heart stray down that path. Perhaps a more general example reveals the same problem. You may have heard the advice, and I mentioned this again last week, that one needs to vent their anger. I've heard Christians brag about an angry response which they gave someone, which they believed that person deserved. Perhaps you've been there. I know I have been in that place, at least coming away, thinking of something I could have said and saying, boy, I wish I thought of that then. I could have really put that person in their place. And then on a second thought, well, maybe it's good I didn't think of it then. I shouldn't have said that. It was a real help coming to Germany and not being able to respond quickly. Having to learn a language was a good lesson in not responding quickly and finding, you know, this is pretty good. I'm glad I don't have a quick tongue, because in English I did. And to learn to check it was important. Proverbs says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Now, where has uncontrolled anger led? Well, it's caused broken relationships. It's caused a loss of jobs. The angry person wants wisdom on how to restore the relationship and how to get and hold a job. But they've already rejected God's wisdom. The Christian may even be praying, God, I need another job. I need to get a job. But they have rejected God's wisdom further uphill. When they should have learned to hold their tongue and control themselves, they thought, well, it's okay just to let them know what I think. Well, you can let your boss know what you think just so often, and he won't be your boss anymore. You will be gone. And there are many other things that just start out with something that the world justifies, but it's contrary to God's wisdom. And we get into situations, and well, how do I get out of this? Probably the most delicate topic to mention that causes the hottest reactions is child raising. God has something to say about child raising and being good parents in Proverbs. This is God's wisdom, not human presumptions. For years, even Christian parents may reject what God has written or simply ignore it. And then the teen years hit, and parents are crying for wisdom on how to deal with their children after they had rejected wisdom for years. We cannot wait until our children are 15, 16, and then go for God's wisdom when He's been telling us from day one what to do with our children. And we reject that for years and years, and then we get into problems, and we say, God, give us wisdom how to handle our children. Well, it's too late. We can't go back and change those first 15 years. God is gracious, and we can turn to Him and say, I messed up, I blew it. And we can try to correct things, but we can't change the past. It's important to listen to God's wisdom now and respond now as wisdom calls to us. I would offer one example, which I have used frequently here at BCF. I can remember even before I came, it was in one of the Bible studies I gave in the process of getting to know the church before I was called here. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. I said, do not let your children roll their eyes at you as parents. Don't let them scorn you. Don't let them mock your authority. Now, young little children will do it one way. As they get older, they'll learn to just sort of roll their eyes and, you know, they're not saying anything, so you let them get away with it. You're not doing them any favor. You're not doing yourselves any favor. If you let them practice mocking, mocking you as God's appointed authority in their lives, by the time they are young adults, they will become full-fledged scoffers. They will learn mocking and you will have helped them. And that means they have become fools. Both you and they will reap the results of rejecting God's wisdom. And you will probably be at a loss as to what to do. How do I get out of this, God? Well, for 15 years, God had been saying, don't let your children roll their eyes at you. Don't let them mock you. Don't let them scorn your authority. And for 15 years, you may have been letting them do that. And now you're calling out, wisdom, help me. And wisdom says, I gave you 15 years of instruction and you rejected it. Verses 32 and 33 brings us to the conclusion of this section. These verses embody the type of contrast which I mentioned at the beginning. The waywardness of the simple will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. The end for the simple and for the fool is death and destruction. This is the end for all who those who hate the knowledge of the holy and who do not fear the Lord. This is the end of those who reject God's wisdom. I would like to point out one particular word in verse 32. It says that the complacency of fools will destroy them. The word complacency refers to a sense of peace or security. The fool imagines that all is well. The fool thinks that things are going along just fine. He's getting away with what he or she is doing. He may even be profiting from it. We might have picked that up if you could understand the words in that song that we sang that Mark said come to him to have explained. There's a hint that, you know, things may go really well for the person who rejects the right way. And those who stand up and say, no, this is the right way, will suffer for it. Things may look okay. The fool has a sense of false security. And that means in the end, the fool will be destroyed because it is a false security. He thinks everything's okay, but it's not. The end for the wise will be security and a freedom from the fear of disaster. The wise are those who listen to wisdom. He who listens to me shall live securely. Again, listen means here doing what one hears. The alternative to death and destruction is peace and security. The path to get them is to choose wisdom right from the start. And too many people look at wisdom as a nice option to enhance their lives. Being a little bit smarter is always helpful. But choosing wisdom over the alternative is so much more. The consequences are death and destruction versus peace and security. Wisdom is more than just an enhancement in your life, some add-on that, you know, the others will help me along in some difficult times. Choosing God's wisdom is an expression of faith in God. It's saying, I believe God knows what He has said. He knows better than I do. I will choose to do what He says, even though it doesn't make sense to me. I will have placed my faith in God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Accepting and applying God's wisdom as contained here in the Word of God is our expression of a desire to know God. Now this must begin with a proper relationship to God. Our sin has alienated us from God. We're all born fools. We're empty, we don't have added things, but we are born in basic rebellion against God. And if nothing else happens, that's the way we're going to follow. But God in His graciousness gave us its solution in Jesus Christ. Our sin, which separated us from God, can be cleansed from our lives. We can have forgiveness in Jesus Christ if we turn to Him. This is something that's beyond just a Band-Aid treatment. We just don't go to wisdom to slap a Band-Aid on a problem in our lives, but it's a choice of how we're going to live. It's a lifestyle choice. It's a commitment of where do I stand in life. It's not just looking for a verse here or a proverb there, something that will help me through this little trouble point in my life. It's saying, I will fear the Lord. I want to understand who He is. And we sang about that this morning. Knowing you, Jesus, that's everything. That is the start. The fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the Holy One, that's the start of wisdom. And when we make that choice, we're on the right road. And we have the ability in Christ to do what God has said. That is the start of wisdom. The call is there. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. Come. Later it will be repeated in the Proverbs. She's saying, come to me. Come, that you will understand who I am and what I have to offer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are calling us. You are calling us in Jesus Christ. You are calling us through the revelation of yourself that you have given all around us. The heavens declare your glory. Father, open up our hearts and eyes to see that and respond to you. Father, I thank you for each one here who has opened up their hearts to Jesus Christ and seen that they need that. But I pray for all of us, even those of us who have done that, that we would respond to the daily call to wisdom, that we would not be persuaded by the world and slip up, head down the wrong path, but that we would search out your wisdom as we would search out treasure and put it into our lives and respond so that we can live in security, in safety, knowing that our lives are in your hands and we are safe in you. I pray for anyone here who has not made that decision, who is not living in a fear of you, knowing that you are a holy and just God, that they would turn to you, open up their hearts, and receive the forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that offer of forgiveness. Thank you for the work in each of our hearts as we turn to you. And I pray that we would be diligent seekers of wisdom, and those that would bring glory and honor to you in all that we say and do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.